Taking a look now at social media and some updates to Facebook. That's another part of the discussion today that we'll have with Don Stanley, Faculty Associate in Life Sciences Communication, where I teach, and he teaches social media and web courses. He owns 3 Rhino Media. It's a social web and strategy business. So we're going to focus in with him today on social media. Do you use social media? Why or why not? Are you wondering if there's a platform that suits what you want to do better than others? Do you have a rule about who you connect with through social media? What is it? Those are all kinds of questions that we could ask Don, and I'm sure he'll have his opinion and answers for you. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@WPR.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can go there as well and post a question or a comment or even a photo there. We'll be glad to respond. Don, good to have you back.
Great to be here. Thank you.
And I want to go, even though we've asked this each time you've been on, I want to go back to it so we have a common basis here. How do you define social media?
Well, social media is the way I define it is it's any tool that allows us to interact, particularly in an online environment. And that can range, you know, there's social networking that we talk about where that is people interacting with one another. Facebook is the most common one.
Yep.
Social outlets like YouTube, LinkedIn, which is primarily a business tool, Twitter, and there are so many more beyond that. But those are kind of the core pieces. So the way I define it are the uses of any of those tools to connect and communicate, whether it's personal or like what I do, a lot of business and academic work.
Yeah, so there's lots of different ways that we can use.
Absolutely.
So in your business, I've never asked you this before on the air, I don't think, but 3 Rhino Media, what's that business about?
So basically it started as primarily a web company years ago, and as technology evolved, we started seeing more and more people needing to connect online with these tools. So basically what we do is we help businesses understand how to use these tools to connect and engage more effectively, because a lot of people know that these tools are out there. You hear the numbers, there's 800 million users on Facebook, and, you know, I forget what it is, it's 28 hours of video is uploaded to YouTube every minute. You know, you just hear these astronomical numbers, and then people in business in particular, and actually I'm giving a talk on the uses in academia tomorrow, say, well, how do I use these? What does that mean for me? And they get overwhelmed. And so basically what we try to do is to take the mystery out of that, help people identify how to use these tools strategically so that they support their business rather than feel like an extra burden that, oh my gosh. And I'm actually working right now with a couple of nonprofits on their projects as well. And it's really interesting to see what can be done, because there's some amazing stories in terms of when things are done well and done in a focused way, what you can do with these tools.
Andrea in Sparta has a question or comment for you. Let's go there. Hi, Andrea.
Hello.
Oh, hold on a second. There. Now we've got you. Are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay.
Hello.
Yeah, my question was this. I've recently started a blog, and I was wondering what your advice is as far as the best way to advertise a blog or a website through social media. If there's a good formula or recipe for that, I guess.
Absolutely. That's a great question. A couple of websites that I will mention off the bat to look at. One is problogger.net. Problogger.net. That's Darren Rouse. He's out of Australia, and he focuses on helping businesses develop six-figure incomes, and individuals, when I say businesses, a lot of times I'm talking about very small businesses, develop income, and in a lot of cases, six-figure incomes using social tools. Chris Brogan, B-R-O-G-A-N, is also another really good resource to look at. And then Scott Stratton, he's S-T-R-A-T-T-E-N, is another really good person. And essentially what you want to do to get noticed is the mistake a lot of individuals and businesses make is they start shouting their message out, promoting, and nobody listens in response. And what you need to do is, it's a lot like engaging with people. If you go to a networking event, you don't go and you don't dominate the conversation with people. You actually talk and listen. So it's a concept called inbound marketing that you want to think about. And basically what you want to start to do is to look at the communities, and you can use a lot of different search tools. Google, of course, is one of them. Search.twitter is another one, to search people who are on Twitter that you might want to connect with, and find people you want to connect with, and then start engaging and interacting with them. So start commenting on their blogs, as an example, to get them to notice you. If you start using Twitter, which I recommend as a starting point, start retweeting or sharing their content with your followers. And there's a rough rule of thumb that a lot of people follow, and that I espouse to, is that when you are trying to build up your audience, and even once you have an audience, mm-hmm. you promote other people 12 times as much as you promote yourself. So you talk about other people, and that starts getting the communities of a lot of the big names to know you and like you and trust you, and then be willing to say, hey, Andrea has this great blog. Mm-hmm. You should go check it out.
Okay, good.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. That's a great tip. Thank you.
And usually what I do is I tell people, spend the first 90 days of when you're starting something researching the people you want to connect with, make a list of those people and actively track them, and converse with them, again, through commenting on their blogs and retweeting, and you'll be surprised at how far you can get really quickly.
Mm-hmm. Thanks a lot for calling, Andrea. Mark in Brussels will turn to you next. Hi, Mark.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I've been single. I'm thinking about one of these internet dating sites. How do I know which is the most cost-effective?
Oh, you're out of my league. I've been happily married for 13 years, so that predates these sites.
It's 15 years for me. So just actually a couple of weeks ago, we celebrated our 15th wedding anniversary. But I'm not sure what to say about it. I know one thing you can do is you can check and see if there have been complaints filed against specific companies, and Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection has an 800 number, which I don't have off the top of my head, but I know you can call them and see if there have been complaints filed against any of the companies that you might be considering. Mm-hmm. So that's one.
The internet, but I'm not sure. Some of these seem to be bogus, you know, where people crank up their own numbers and say, we're the best. And I'm not sure what's real and what's devious.
Yeah, I wish I could help you. I mean, I know one of the interesting statistics is last year, this number just bumped up, 1 in 5 marriages in the U.S. were started by people first interacting with social tools online, which is more than people who met in bars and in person and at other social events combined. So I know they exist. I just said, can't give you any specifics in terms of which ones to check out.
Well, probably stay listening, Mark, because I'm pretty sure we're going to get some comments about it. In fact, Jim at Eau Claire's got one, so let's go there. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Jim.
Hey, since I heard it, I was using the dating sites for several years, 3-4 years in a row, and after last January, I found a wonderful lady, and we got married and had a child, and it works great. What I use, though, I think I can say the site on here, is that correct?
Sure.
Was Match that I used, and I ran two sites together and worked a couple hours a night on it. I had to put my time into it. I knew what I was looking for. I was very good at explaining who I was and what I was looking for, and then it was just a matter of communicating for finding a date.
And that was Match.com?
I used Match.com, and I had excellent results with it. And there's also Yahoo that has a site. I think they might have combined now, though.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And all the ones that I looked into were great. You know, there's a few more of them out there. There's eHarmony and things like that. I just didn't want to go to the extent they were. And they all cost about the same, as I found that there were a lot of them run even specials. You buy 3 months, you get 3 months free.
Oh. Just out of curiosity, how long did you use the site for?
A total of 3 years.
Okay.
Until I found what I was looking for, I guess.
Yeah.
Like I said, I am head and heels over heels in love. I have a wonderful woman, and
So it was worth the 3-year wait. It was definitely worth that 3 years of work. Jim, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Don Stanley, our guest, as we talk social media with him, he'll be with us right up until 12:30 today here on the Ideas Network. Well, we tweet, we blog, we link in, we friend, and sometimes we unfriend. About half of adults on the internet also use social media. Nearly 3/4 of young people connect with others through those sites. What does that mean for how we interact with each other? Larry Mueller here. Glad you could join us today on the Ideas Network. Don Stanley is a social media expert. He's with us until 12:30 today to look at those issues and more. And he'll explain the pluses and minuses of different social media platforms so you know which ones might be a good fit for you. And he's happy to answer your questions as well when you call us at 1-800-642-1234. Or in the spirit of the topic, leave a comment on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. If you like it while you're there, you'll get regular updates on upcoming show topics. We'll be back right after this look at the news. Stay with us. Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here taking a look at social media today with Don Stanley, faculty associate in life sciences communication and owner of 3 Rhino Media. That's a social web and strategy business. Great to have him along. If you have questions for him, I hope you'll join in at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. Or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can post there. And by the way, I should mention, on the page right now, there's a profile about Judith Sears-Poisson, my producer, our producer. It ran in the Wisconsin State Journal last week, and we wanted to put it up in case, I think it came on about the time we were doing our fun drive, and so wanted to get it out there. So if you want to know what Judith does to help... Actually, not that, just to help. She makes me look good. It's right there. So it's what I do. Public radio producer keeps Larry Mueller Show going. Anyway, it's on the Facebook page, so go to the Larry Mueller Show, and it's the first thing you'll see when you go there. We have Beth in Richland Center with a question for you.
Good afternoon, Larry and Don.
Hi, Beth.
Hi.
My question, thank you very much, is about... maintaining or retaining my copyright to what I post, whether it's comments, articles, other written material, photos, at Facebook. I have a murky at best understanding of the Facebook policy on that matter, but what I do grasp looks rather disturbing to me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, having said that, I do want to say that Facebook has... in spite of its many quiddities, has been very helpful and useful to me as an instrument for connecting with colleagues and other interesting people.
Sure. Sure. So one of the things that I recommend when you're looking at putting up anything that is important to you, I personally follow the mantra, and this is a lot of people in industry who are way smarter than me on the subject taught me this, was essentially to use a blog as a hub for that type of content. You know, directing people to that type of content where you control it and you're not in the domain of Google Plus or a Facebook or a Twitter. The one of the things that's really interesting that's happening right now with privacy, with retention of rights, etc. There's a big hubbub that's happening in Washington, trying to find out really what is Facebook doing with all of the content they get. Slowly over time, they've essentially been getting more and more access to content from us.
Mm-hmm.
And so a number of political groups and a number of U.S. senators are starting to ask and raise some questions about that. And I, you know, whether good or bad or indifferent or how that'll turn out, I can't say, but I always say if there's anything that you really want to retain, that have a blog. It's very easy to set up. WordPress is the most commonly used one, but Tumblr is another good one, and that type of content you can keep. And on those, with both of those blogging tools, and there are others, but those are the two most popular, you can decide if you want to keep something public or private as well. So you can decide if you want to share blog posts or blog pages that you're writing where there might be important content you don't want, you know, somebody else having access to or having the copyright on. That's the safest way to handle it.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask a really flat-footed question, please?
Sure.
So if I publish it at my blog first, then I'm de facto reposting it at Facebook, and therefore I retain the rights?
Well, what I would do is I would actually just have a link to that content going to your blog on Facebook. That's the way I would approach it. So, you know, that can help drive traffic as well.
Mm-hmm.
Very smart. So yeah. don't even bother posting it at Facebook. Just
post a link.
Post a link. You have already, just in the few minutes I've been listening to this program, probably maximized my effectiveness in business more than 100%. I'm perfectly serious.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm very glad.
Beth, thank you so much. Appreciate your call. That's kind of nice to hear, isn't it, Don? Well, that's very nice to hear. Facebook, you know, just did a redesign, by the way, and a lot of people up in arms at first about it. What were the basic elements there?
So basically what you know, anytime you have a tool that people are used to using and you make any type of change, especially larger global changes, there's going to be people who are going to be upset about it. And, you know, there was a lot of, I can't believe they did this. I can't believe that. And part of that is just you have different people who are willing to make changes and people who aren't. We're actually talking about this in my course right now, The Diffusion of Innovations.
Mm-hmm.
And so what over time, and it's only been a couple of weeks, it's already quieting down to a degree as people get used to what the different features are. So essentially what Facebook did and what they're doing is they're moving people into a space where Facebook encompasses more of what they do. So, for example, a lot of people might have Twitter accounts and a blog and Facebook and use some Google tools, and Facebook is trying to condense some of what you do and how you do it. So, for example, you know, one of the big challenges before was who got to see stuff when you created it, similar to what our last call was. And there was really very limited options in terms of what you can do. And so the new Facebook features allow you to target more accurately the groups of people that you want to share content with. There's a new subscribe option, which, let's say, for example, I wanted to subscribe to all of the updates from your show without having to become your friend. If you decided that you wanted to make your content available, your public content available to subscribe to, I could do that, and then I wouldn't have to worry about the friend type deal.
Mm-hmm.
So for the most part, you know, people are slowly quieting down about it, and, you know, it's kind of, you know, the initial everybody's up in arms. They will be releasing, and they haven't stated when they're going to do it, a new look for Facebook. Some people have already started it. It's called Timeline, so it's going to change the interface of how Facebook looks. And you can just go to facebook.com/about/timeline, and it'll give you an update on what that's going to be. So if you want to, you can upgrade to that feature so that your Facebook page is ahead of where the changes are, or they're going to be at some point, they haven't stated when, they're going to be requiring that people will move to that.
Mary and Toma, it's your turn. Hi, Mary. Thank you for calling.
Oh, hi.
Hello.
Thank you for taking my call. I have just made a website. I make dog clothes, pet clothes.
Uh-huh.
And, I'm a dog owner, so I like that.
Okay. And I'm just wondering, everybody says that I should be tweeting, that's where I'm going to get most of my orders.
Okay.
But I guess I have never done anything like that, and I don't know what does that involve?
Twitter. Okay, let's talk about it. And
sure.
We can start from... Well, we've got, over 100 million users on Twitter, right?
Twitter is a tool that's called, it's considered by most people a microblog, which means you have 140 characters that you can write something. And basically, one of the things that you want to think about when you're looking at any of these tools first, before you actually look at the tools, is what it is that you're trying to do and how you want to connect with your audience. Because essentially, this is a marketing tool for you. So just like you wouldn't go out and spend a bunch of money on a magazine ad and a newspaper ad and a television spot without thinking about what you wanted to get out of it and where you were putting those advertisements, you want to do the same thing with social tools. So, for example, what I recommend people do is follow an initial, what I call a listening strategy. Some people, again, I mentioned this a bit earlier, it's called inbound marketing. And basically what you want to do is you want to identify groups online or individuals online, and you can just do searches on Twitter or on Facebook or other tools to find dog owners and people who are into dog clothes. And you'll find these mm-hmm. amazing communities that exist.
Right.
And then what you want to do is set up a Twitter account or something like that where you start promoting within that community and you start promoting to people who are likely to purchase from you. Because if you just start tweeting out and nobody knows you're there, you know, it's like putting a storefront somewhere and not telling anybody that it's there. You need to do that first.
And that's kind of what happened. I went and I created a Facebook account, and you know, my friends list has clicked like, but as far as getting any new, I have gotten nothing.
Yeah, exactly. And the big thing, and I 1,000% subscribe to this mantra. I say it to my students all the time. I say it to my clients all the time. There's three rules for being successful in business, and that you need to remember. And they are that we do business with people we know, we like, and we trust. And it takes time to get people to know you, to like you, and trust you. So a lot of businesses, a huge mistake that I see in a lot of businesses and nonprofit organizations make is they start promoting without engaging people first. And so what I mean by that is you want to start looking at, again, what communities are out there and get known and trusted in those communities. Offer some tips and advice that let people know that you're not there just to sell, but you're there to help. So, you know, having something where, you know, a Facebook post, for example, could be 5 tips to, you know, to dressing your dog according to seasons, or, you know, 3 tips for keeping your dog's paws warm in the winter and snow free, and you provide stuff of value like that. That's how people will start noticing you and recommending you and trusting you, and then that's when you start looking at making sales. So you have to build that trust first mm-hmm. with social tools. And
does it help to have links to other businesses if with their permission?
Yes, it can. As long, the one thing you have to always remember is that people, if you're doing that, will it's like a recommendation, and so you have to be very careful who you attach yourself with. So
okay.
it does help to do that, but again, be very strategic and careful, and make sure it would be somebody that you would recommend a close personal friend go to, not just, you know,
okay.
trying to gain a partnership, so to speak, where you're not 100%, but you know the business
yeah.
has big name recognition. I don't recommend doing that.
Okay. Well, thanks so much.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Judith says maybe Mary should ask her friends to suggest their friends. I mean, sort of build that way, too.
Sure. Absolutely. If your friends are dog people, because the one thing you have to be careful of is if they're not, you know, then you end up getting
yep.
lots of people sharing lots of stuff that you, and it's kind of yep. like the famous aunt or uncle in every family who retires and then is sending emails of every funny thing they see or every
yeah.
video, and you get 1,000 of them, you know, you start to filter that. So that is a good suggestion, but I would, you know, do it around, you know, people who do have pets.
Makes good sense. How concerned should we be? You know, we've talked a little about privacy and security. What about it with social media? Are there some steps that we should all be taking?
Absolutely. There's a couple of things. I recently had a guest lecturer come in, and Maravik Valencia of Tech PR came in, a fascinating talk on privacy. And there's a website called Spokeo, SPOEKO.com. And what you can do is you can type your name and your general location in it. And what it does is it aggregates all the content it can find about you. And for some people who are really active on social tools, it's scary the amount of content it has. I mean, it'll literally show your home, the front of your home with the street that you live on. It'll show your income range, your preferences on all different kinds of stuff. Sometimes it's inaccurate. Fortunately, you know,
yeah.
I found that there are a number of things that are inaccurate. But one of the things that she talked about, and this is very, very true, is actually in an article in the New York Times I was just reading, is how criminals are using it, because people will put up so much information on Facebook. And I think it's a site called Come Rob Me.
Come and, rob me.
And what these criminals will do is they will, you know, stalk places like Facebook and wait to see when people say they're going on vacation and when they're out of town and know that the probability of them not being around is high and...
Where they go.
So what you can do is especially with Facebook, is Facebook privacy settings, and you can do a Google search for this. Mari Smith, M-A-R-I Smith, is a great resource to look into in terms of some of the things you can do with Facebook, as far as your privacy settings go. But I have mine for my personal account set pretty darn high, because I want to limit, and I do actually limit my activity on it as well with the personal stuff, just because, you know, it's better to be safe than sorry.
And again, that's Spokio. Is it S-P-O-K-E-O?
I think that's it. Yeah. S-P-O-K-E-O or S. Yeah, I think that's it. I think that's how you spell it. It's kind of a strange name. So
Spokio.com. Okay. There is a small cost connected with
it. There should be one that's free. I can look it up too. If there's one where you can just put your basic information in and see some
get some
you don't get full results, but you get some.
Mm-hmm. You can join in too with your questions and comments. By the way, I haven't been giving that number. Let me do that right now. It's 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org. And you can also go to my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show and post there. And as a matter of fact, we have a couple of things. A Facebook question from Barb. When you start a blog as a money-making venture, what is it you're actually selling and what is the source of the income?
That is a great question. It depends.
Uh-huh.
Go with the old political answer. It depends. It really depends on what you want to do. For most people, when you're starting out, what you're trying to do is sell and position yourself in your community as being knowledgeable and whatever topic it is. And there are literally blogs, and you'd be shocked at the number of people who have six-figure blogs on just the most obscure topics.
Yeah.
And basically, what a lot of people will do with their blogs is you think of it as a place for people to come sample your good stuff. So, for example, if you want to sell an ebook of your best tips for, again, accessorizing your dog.
Yeah. Okay.
As an example, maybe you have that as an ebook that you're selling, you know, for a small amount. Well, people aren't going to buy that until they see that you have other good content. And that's what your blog essentially does, is it positions you with the content you're providing as somebody, again, who's knowledgeable, trustworthy, and likable. And that gets people feeling comfortable making a purchase from you. I was just at a workshop down in Dallas, and the woman who was leading it said, you know, if you go to somewhere like a Costco, and I'm a fan of Costco because of all the samples they have. I actually feed my kids there on Friday. They've got so much good food. But she said, you know, they put out their best stuff so that you sample it and then you buy. And that's essentially what a blog is like, is you have to put out content that's really good stuff that people see. Oh, this person's worth investing in.
Yeah.
And whether you're selling, an ebook or a specific product of some type and promoting a software or, you know, your podcast. I mean, there can be a variety of things.
Yeah.
And that's essentially what it works for.
Peter in Appleton, your turn. Hi, Pete.
Hi. I have a bunch of friends on Facebook and have been discovering lately that I just don't go there that often. And when I do, I have to wade through tons of messages to find, you know, a few people that I really would like to keep track of. Is there some sort of filter or sorting thing that I can use to go back a week or so and dig out just the people I want to see?
And you want to keep the updates from everybody else as well?
Yeah, because every once in a while I like to, you know, see some different people too.
Mm. Okay.
I don't know that there's a way to do that by name. You know what you can do is just go by name.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's Anthony is the person you want to check up on or see if they've sent anything, you can just click to their site
mm-hmm.
and see what they've posted. I think that's It's about the only way. About the only way I know how to do it.
Yeah, there might be an easier way. I'm not able to see it or play with it right now. But that's typically what I do. Is that there? You know, I have the stream of people, and obviously it depends on the number of people you're following and the number of times that they update.
Sure.
But you can
And actually, you can now choose. As Judith was saying, you can now choose on each person if you see. To see all or none or some of their posts, hover over their name in the stream to get the option.
Yep, that's right. Thank you. That's one of the new features.
Good.
So if you just put your name over the person's name.
Hover over the person's name.
You'll see a list of options that come up.
All right.
And that's actually a new feature that's around a lot in different Facebook parts that was just released, is to move your mouse into different areas and hover, and you'll see a variety of options, like with the like, the comment, the share, as well as the person's name.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for calling. Christy and DePere, your turn. Hi, Christy.
Hi there.
Hello.
I was calling in regards to the lady who just called about the clothing for dogs and wanting to get more likes on Facebook.
Yeah.
And I don't think y'all brought up doing Facebook ads, which it's pretty reasonably priced, and you can target your audience.
That's a great suggestion.
Yeah, you can target it by where they live, their age, and I believe, you know, there's a lot of different interests that you can select when you're on Facebook, so you can. And I'm thinking that animals has got to be one of them.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
that's a great suggestion. We actually just had one of the higher-ups at Facebook here on campus about a week or two ago, and she was talking about the Facebook ad. So I totally spaced it, and you saved me on that one.
No.
But, yes, that is a really good thing to look into. And again, it is relatively reasonably priced.
Yeah.
Right, and you can also put a cap on how much you want to spend each day or each month. So you have control over how much you're spending on it.
Yep, absolutely. Excellent. Thanks, Christy.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Appreciate the call. And Jeff and Ladysmith, let's see here. Let me get to Jeff and Ladysmith. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Jeff.
I just have a comment that you talk a little bit about the security of people that use media sources, and one of the things that people also need to be aware of, and especially maybe college graduates that are new into the workforce, is that oftentimes a lot of employers now are using Facebook to do a little more personal research of the applicants that come across their desk.
Yeah.
And so maybe that photo that they took at that college party that they have posted, or some political reference may not be a smart thing to leave out there on their Facebook page, because that could alter their ability to be able to obtain a job.
I absolutely agree that is a huge issue. 70% of employers in a recent study said that the first thing they do is they go to people's social pages to research them. There was another article, actually this was a news story that I believe was on CNN, where insurance agencies are now using it as a form of investigating people with, especially with their disability claims. And they're tracking people on Facebook, and there was a big case that they profiled of this gentleman losing his claims because he had pictures of himself on vacation and the water doing all these things, and got notified, or actually didn't get his disability check, wondering why he didn't. And the insurance agency said, we've been tracking you on Facebook, and here's what we found, and ended up
out of luck.
Yeah, ended up in some litigation. So yes, you're exactly right. You have to be aware. You know, if you don't want your mom seeing it, or you don't want to see it on a billboard on the side of the road, or you don't want to see it on the front of the New York Times, don't put something up.
Always a pleasure, Don. You'll come back and be with us
absolutely.
Again.
Absolutely. I love it.
Don Stanley, who owns Rhino Media, three Rhino Media, social web and strategy business. He'll be back, and we'll do it again with him. And thank you for listening. Laura Erickson, talk with us about birds tomorrow on the Ideas Network. Stay with us.